I would like to read from Psalms 90, from verse 13. May I ask that we stand up for it? Psalms 90, from verse 13. Return, O Lord. How long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. From the Gospel of John 1, verse 16 and 17. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let us worship. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you for this psalm word. Our hearts long for it, to see your work in our midst, thy stretched out arm that does mighty deeds. Yes, Lord. May the right hand of the Lord be exalted and do great things for the glory of thy name. May we also today receive from your fullness grace for grace. Lord, the law you have given through Moses, grace and truth you brought thyself. We thank you for it, and we ask you now together, bless and sanctify this day. Bless and sanctify the hours of our gathering. Bless and sanctify the lips which shall speak. Bless and sanctify the ears and the hearts who will hear. Faithful God, sanctify thyself as the Holy One and the True One, all of the atmosphere, that we experience your presence directly. Not only that we feel it, but that we experience it. We remember the weak, the sick, those who labor and are heavy laden, all them where are misunderstandings, disagreements, and whatever burden it might be, O Lord. May everything be taken from all. For we may come to you and lay everything down at your feet. You will make it well. Lord, I thank you that we may be gathered here today. At the same time, we ask you that you bless all brothers and sisters who cannot be here today, all who live in the dispersion here in Switzerland, in Austria, in Germany, in the surrounding countries, and in all the world. Faithful God, with great confidence, we look up to you, who you started, you will finish, and we will see with our own eyes the favor and grace of our Lord and God. Your people will rejoice again and jubilate, for you return to Zion to revive the heart of the contrite ones and to strengthen the feeble knees and to raise the hands which hang down. Give grace. We place this gathering consciously under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb, so that Satan can have no right on anyone here. Faithful Lord, you are our Redeemer. This is your name from ancient times, and this you have become. That's how Isaiah writes it, your prophet. Lord, be with us and bless us by grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let us have a brief word observation before we go over to the Lord's Supper. I would like to read some scriptures. The first one from Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. With this word of the Holy Scripture, I actually want to express that what touches me inwardly. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. At this verse, I would like to stop a bit. It's not always easy to please God and man. By nature, we tend to offend no one, to just come and go in a kindly way. But when we have a divine commission, then we must, whether we like it or not, we must preach the whole counsel of God, but not with a steamroller tactic, but really with love, in humility. We may that what God entrusted us, we may bring it to others. Having one thought in the heart, not to please men, but to please God. There was, for instance, now in Africa, in a large gathering, there the man who arranged all that He wanted that I put on an African costume and that I then come with a costume onto the platform. And then I said lovingly, please understand me in the right way. I don't come from Hollywood and I also don't come from Europe. I come as a man of God with the word of God. Do on the platform what you like. Leave unto me that part that God commissioned to me. And then everything is fine. He respected it because I said it in love. We don't go anywhere to demonstrate with the people a show. We go with the word of the Almighty God for this hour. And I tell you, it touches me more and more. It continues here in verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Also this I want to emphasize. The gospel that we preach was not cut by men to make it fit. By grace, we may today preach the same gospel of Jesus Christ as it was preached by our brothers at the beginning. And also for this, we are grateful to the Lord. In verse 12 it says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I believe this we may all say. It was grace. It was revelation. It was the Holy Spirit who came upon us. And suddenly, it fell like scales from our eyes. And we could see what we didn't see before. We could receive what would have been strange to us before. Suddenly, it became familiar to us. And after some time, it seemed to be as if we would have known it all the time. As if we would always have been a part of the Word and of the working of God. And that's how it actually is. Now I would like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death, unto death, and to the other the savor of life, unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? So far, this word. Actually, we could also read the last verse. For we are not as many who corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Also this, as the American would say, a good statement. Just a declaration to be aware of, to not stand before men, but before God, who tries the hearts and who will judge on that day. Driven by God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. One can read it in the Gospel of John. There it says, Him whom God sends, He speaks the words of God. He cannot do otherwise. Prophets and apostles preached in the name of the Lord the word of God. We, by grace, have been placed into the same footprints. We deviate neither to the left nor to the right, but we may, by His grace, walk on the straight way with our God. Let me quickly read on 2 Corinthians 3. Here I would like to read from verse 3 to verse 6. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. How mighty are such words of God! What a weight they bring into the scale. And I believe we understood it. God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel and also through Jeremiah, I will take from them the stony heart and give them a heart of flesh, a heart that feels, a heart that can receive, a heart into which the word can be written into it. Here, we read it, not unto tablets of stone, but on fleshy tablets of the heart. The word of God was written by the Spirit into it. Dear brother, dear sister, can you say amen? Did it happen? Did it happen that God's holy word is not only written here in the Bible, but by the Spirit written into the heart? Here it says, on one hand, the letter killeth. The letter killeth only there where the Spirit could not make it alive and cannot write it into the heart. Here the people rack their brains. There it doesn't become alive. On the contrary, there it killeth. But there, where the letter is preached as the word, there the Spirit of God comes to make the letter the living spoken word, which touches our heart. And I believe this we may all say, this God has done on us and in us. Who of us has the thing in our head? Certainly no one. We have it in the heart. Here Brother Branham says so nicely, probably in the first sermon that we published as the first one, as a tape, united under one head. There he probably says, Satan takes the head, but God has chosen the heart. Man believes with a heart, not with a head. The head has arguments and what have you. The heart believes. And so we also may believe with all our heart what God has said in his word. Who rejoices that God revealed unto us his word by the Spirit? Who rejoices that God has made his word alive, so up to date, so up into this present time? Up to date, as the American would say. Sometimes, in our language, we don't have the right word for it. But God just kept us up to date. Amen. 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 God didn't leave us in the past centuries. God has brought us until this present time. God has brought us into his presence and revealed unto us the promises for these days. Also for this, we are grateful with all our hearts. And if there are people who still say, we have Christ, we don't need any prophet. It sounds so good. Oh, it sounds so heavenly. And behind it is hidden much. He who has Christ, he has the word of Christ. And he who has the word of Christ has God. And he who has God has the promises of the Old and of the New Testament. And he cannot put the word aside unless he puts Christ aside as well. And this is the problem of the hour, that most of the people, they jubilate to Christ. You should hear it once in a charismatic meeting, wherever they might be. Oh, Jesus means everything to them after their mouth. But when it then comes to the point and wants to speak about that he walks amidst the seven golden lampstands and that he has seven stars in his right hand, and that the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. Oh, then it becomes different. Suddenly the people change sides. They can't go on anymore. Why? Because they don't see the prophetic part of the plan of salvation. And right this matters, that we see today the prophetic part in the plan of salvation and know what God promised, in order to know with what we can count, for what we can wait. If I don't know what God promised, for what shall I wait then? Can you tell me this? Over and again we emphasized it. The genuine faith is anchored in the promises of God. If there is no promise, where shall the faith be fixed? Where shall it start? There is no starting point. Thanks be to God. How often I have said it in my speeches. The New Testament began with the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The New Testament ends with the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. John was a promised prophet. Jesus Christ, the promised Savior and Messiah. God, before the great day of the Lord, He promised unto us a prophet. He sent him with the message. Certainly, we don't preach the prophet. We preach the word that God entrusted unto him. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Almighty God. We can distinguish between the vessel and him who uses it. Do you understand this? We don't have the spirit of idolatry. We have the Spirit of God. And therefore we give God the glory. But wholeheartedly we receive and accept what God has sent us and are grateful for it. Where would we be today? I dare to say, where would hundreds of thousands be today if God would not have sent His servant and prophet to draw our attention to that what matters now and to emphasize the promises, to bring them to the surface and to proclaim them. And also therein, I'm very honest and open. Since the passing of this great man of God, our beloved Brother Branham, God has led us from clarity to clarity. And we had no man anymore to whom we could have gone. We were only dependent on God. On and then I said, Lord, I would go by foot as far as it is possible to speak with a prophet. When I look back today, I didn't have to go far. God is not a God far away. God is a God who is near. God is nigh to them who are of a contrite heart. God gives an answer to them who seek Him. And He satisfies the hunger of His own and makes our cup run over. How often during the years I could draw from this fountain. Out of His fullness we received grace for grace, revelation by revelation, light by light, clarity by clarity. It went from knowledge to knowledge by the grace of God. Today, when I sat in the train, I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to read it now very briefly to write those who probably go through trials and so forth, that they receive it from the Lord, that they are strengthened and comforted. Right now, we read that God leads in triumph and makes us a sweet savor in every place. And now comes in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, from verse 22, it says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And now comes the list. In labors more abundant, in prisons more frequent, in stripes above measure. And when I read this sentence, I began to weep. I didn't care who came in or who went or who was around me. When I read this sentence, in stripes above measure, then it was done with me. A man of God who didn't do any harm to anyone, as a reward, he was beaten by the people and he carried the precious seed of the Word of God. And then I suddenly said, Lord, I didn't get any stripes yet. Do I really carry your word? It touched me so much. There are moments on and then where one cannot help himself. There one is touched on the most inside. And I put myself in the position of the man of God who was called as his chosen tool. And we as humans, we would say, when God takes someone as his chosen tool, then he protects him from the left and right side, surrounds him by all sides. Nothing can happen to him. And here the man of God makes a list of all the things that happened to him. I read on. In labors more abundant, in prisons more frequent, in stripes above measure, facing death many times, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. We can read it up, what this means. 39 stripes on the naked back, and this 5 times. At the end of the straps were the lead balls, which had to do their job. And this man, he had to turn his back to get the stripes, and this 5 times. And as I just said, when I read this today, I thought by myself, oh God, how well I'm off until today. The slanders and the things that were put into the world, all right, one cannot live very well with it, but it's okay with God's help. Here we have a man before us who was facing death, who received from the Jews 5 times 39 stripes. You can, if you like, read it up in Deuteronomy 25, verse 3, what this means. And then he continues, thrice I was beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. I have visited exactly 100 countries, and some difficult journeys are behind me. Sometimes I was thirsty, and sometimes I was hungry. But in this way, I could not describe it. Certainly, we are grateful to God. The times have changed. When I have to go to the airport completely soaked with sweat after the meeting, without that I can change my clothes, all right, it's not comfortable, but you can still take it. I suffered some difficulties for the sake of the Word of God. But such a testimony I cannot show until this day. I don't know what the future will bring. We all know in that moment, when the hour of God comes and He starts to have the last round with His people, that then the enemy will attack in a totally different way until now. But one thing we may say already today, with our God, we will walk the way until the end. He is faithful, may come what may come, He will walk with us. But the thought that touched me here was, we as humans, we would straight away ask, but He is the man of God. God called Him. Now He is stripped here. Now His back is beaten. Now He is stoned. He is whipped. And all the things that came upon Him in the course of the years. You see, these are the ways of God. How did the way of our Lord look like? How were the ways of the prophets? He who wants to have an easy way, he must leave this way. He who wants to go up, this is a steep way. Often it's not only embedded with roses, but also with thorns. But it leads to heaven. It leads to the pearly gates. It leads to eternal bliss. May there come what may come. Our decision is God's decision. To persevere until the end. To then be crowned with all them who likewise persevered before us. Paul continues to write, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. This was the way of a man of God. Beloved, when I read this today, and I read the Bible a couple of times, it touched me very much. And I thanked God that we may live in a time in which all the strenuous journeys don't have to be made. All right, time difference, climate difference, some things are included, but not as it was once upon a time. Today, in a couple of hours, we can reach the other end of the world. God has taken care also for this. For now, the gospel must be preached to all nations for a witness. Beloved, should you hear that I have to go through some hardships, then don't marvel. My brethren, who were commissioned by God to carry the word, to preach the gospel, they walked troublesome ways. Through misunderstandings, through destitutions of all kind, but they walked with God. and they carried out what they were commissioned. And this alone will count at the end. How did Brother Branham say, under tears, also in a sermon, maybe even in the sermon with a film, he said, Lord, then we come to you, into your house, and will sit at the long table that will be 1,000 miles long, and there we will have our scars, which we received while preaching the word. But there you will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. A divine commission. No one should ask for it. Woe unto him to whom it is given. But may God give us grace together to carry out this divine commission, which we take seriously, which has penetrated into our flesh and blood, soul and spirit, that we carry it out together in all faithfulness, in all self-abandonment, with all devotion, carrying it out together until the end. May God give grace that we carry it out well, that the Lord could say on that day, well done. I don't know whether you can understand me here. I not only want to be saved, I not only want to enter the pearly gates, I want that the rich fruit from this generation goes with me, that a multitude is called out, that is snatched away from hell. A multitude dressed in white, standing before the throne of God. When we then see each other again, what a joy, what a jubilation. If we could look back, then one would say, yes, it was there, it was here, when I heard the message, and the Lord called me, when he saved me, and when he revealed himself to me. Beloved, I want to reach the destiny with all of you, and I'm longing for the day where we can lay hands on and say with a certainty, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. I have it so in my heart, I cannot tell anyone. I want, as it is written, to present the Lord a chaste virgin, a church without spot and without wrinkle. And it is written that we must be sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of our redemption. Not only an anointing with the Holy Spirit, a seal of the Spirit, where God just says yes to you. Just saying yes. You are mine for time and for eternity. I am longing for that day where God helps me in whatever way it may be, that I have the certainty that the brothers and sisters whom I served here, whom I loved, that I know they are part of it. With them I will spend eternity. Although we still have to wait now, believe me, we have sung it in the song, God does what he promised. He has sent the early rain, he will send the latter rain. He is the first and the last. He will finish his work. He will seal unto the day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I would like, before we come to the Lord's Supper, pardon me, to read the words from 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, And while we today celebrate the Lord's Supper, we want to show it to us again, what happened on Calvary. Divine blood was shed there to redeem you and me, to give you and me forgiveness, to reconcile us with God. I read now from 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, from verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So far, this word. Please pardon me. Our Lord loved us so deeply, and he proved it on Calvary. This is the proof of the divine love. God not only spoke of love, God proved it in the deed. For God so much loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you believe in him with all your heart? Most certainly. How could we do otherwise? We believe with all our heart in Jesus Christ. Today one is asked many times whether one believes. This is not the question. The question is whether one believes biblically, according to the scripture, believing in Jesus Christ, not in a religion or church or even in a man, but really believing in the Redeemer himself, who brought us redemption. But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Not one can examine the other. We have to examine ourselves. in the presence of God to find out whether something is there that we still have to put in order before God. There were times, I can still remember it, when people became fresh believers and it came to the Lord's Supper. One approached each other and asked for forgiveness. And I think this is no mistake, but we arrived in a time where even people who ask sincerely for forgiveness are then misunderstood. If God could just give us grace that this evil Zeitgeist, I almost used another word for it, another term, that this Zeitgeist could not get hold of us who we have become believers, that we would have the opportunity to estimate what consequences our words could have and so forth, that the Lord could give us grace in all things. There is the word, the Lord said it in the Gospels, when you want to bring a sacrifice and you remember that your brother has something against you, this word, the people totally misunderstood, probably throughout centuries. I, of course, know only decades. This means when someone can actually legally make a claim against you, not when someone has a grief against you or is not kind to you, then we could run through the whole world, everyone to his employee or employer, and the Savior only had to do one thing. If he had wanted to go to all those who were angry with him and ask them for forgiveness, then he only had to ask for forgiveness all the time because there were so many who were against him. No, this word doesn't mean that. But really, as it is written, if your brother has something against you, that means he could show you something. For instance, you owe him something and you don't give it back to him. This is the point. Give it back. Yes, one has to read precisely here to know what it means. Here we read it. Let everyone examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. One thing I want to still say, every person to whom the hand of reconciliation is stretched out, please accept it. Every person you want to talk to should listen. We just have to get soft inwardly and be kind with everyone, no matter what the people do or say to us, that we even come to the point that we have love for the enemies. The Lord says, if you only love those who love you, what reward do you have then? And then he says, I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them. This is not always easy, and yet I succeeded a couple of times in the recent days that I could just pray where earthly sin, it is against any nature and against a sound mind. But we don't go according to that, what our mind says. We simply say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they do. We don't impute it to the people, but we know it's the enemy who got hold of them. I, from my side, wish us all today an intimate fellowship with God and with one another at the Lord's Supper, as reconciled ones, as pardoned ones, as being loved by God, as the called out ones, that we become aware of, that we now have the Lord's Supper with the Lord Himself. At that time, the Lord said, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. Back then He said, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He said, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. May our beloved Lord and Savior today may He come into our midst, that really everyone from the first to the last, that all would become fully aware of. Today I have with the Lord and the Lord with me the Lord's Supper. When we today partake of the bread, we bring to our mind that His body was bruised and stricken. And when we take today the cup, we bring to our mind that He shed His holy blood on the cross of Calvary. In the Lord's Supper is no forgiveness. Forgiveness is in the faith in the finished work of redemption of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But the Lord's Supper shows before us that it literally, word by word, was fulfilled. As we take the bread here, so His body was bruised. And as we take the cup, so His blood was shed. It's divine reality. And we visualize it anew, that it took place, that our Lord cried out, it is finished. It happened for you, precious heart, and it happened for me. Also such who probably until now did not make their full decision to dedicate their life to God, do it now. He has given His whole life for us. Let also we give Him all our life out of gratitude, giving it back to Him and say, Lord, receive it. Take me as I am. All who today, now, even while we break bread right now, all who can say by faith with all their heart, driven by the Spirit, who can say in their heart and with their lips, Lord, I believe You. You redeemed me. You called me by my name. I am Thine. I receive it today. I believe that You are my Redeemer. You shed Your blood for me. Lord, make me worthy to partake in the Lord's Supper. And believe it, that He has done it. Don't wait so long until you give your expert opinion that you are well-pleasing to yourself. No, don't wait for your assessment. Believe it now, as it is written, on earth peace among people with whom He is well-pleased. There are people on earth who are well-pleasing to God. These are the redeemed, the called-out ones, those pardoned by God. According to the scripture, Romans chapter 8, whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also sanctified. And whom he sanctified, them he also glorified. And conformed them to the image of his Son. I know, it's a high calling, a high goal. And as humans, we would almost say, my God, what a high goal you have set for yourself with us, that we one day should be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I care nothing for it, that God wanted it this way and made it this way. But I'm grateful to him with all my heart that he made it possible through Calvary. Believe it now, dear brothers and sisters. Let no doubt arise in you. Believe with all your heart. And through the faith in Jesus Christ, we have the justification in the presence of God. And then it's written, who shall lay any charge against God's elect? Who wants to accuse them? Christ is here. Who acquitted them? Who wants to accuse them? It's too late. The accuser of the brethren has to withdraw without having achieved anything. We are under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb. Thus saith the Lord, already in the Old Testament, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Today, he wants to see whether you applied the blood of the Lamb by faith for you personally, for your redemption. And if this is so, then be blessed by God in the name of the Lord. Then partake of the Lord's Supper without any doubt, in the certainty that God didn't do a half thing, but something whole. Full salvation teaches our Bible, as a German hymn goes. May God bless us all. Amen. Let us stand up. Our hearts are moved to thank you, to worship you. Before us is your plan, your intention, fully unveiled. You revealed your word. You made known your will. You have taken away the veil, and we may know who you are, in whom we believe. Faithful Lord, there are so many things that move us. We want to summarize them, and we want to thank you with all our hearts for all the care that you had with us throughout all the year. We didn't suffer any lack. You have given us health, shelter, and food. You have given us clothing and whatever we needed. Faithful Lord, we thank you for it with all our hearts. You are a faithful Father, a faithful God. You even provide for them who do not believe in you. Oh, how faithful you are. You let it rain and the sun shines. You give the seeds and harvest all over the world. Lord, who can grasp it? Who can understand it? You arranged it like this. It is according to your will. And so we ask you now with all our hearts, include us fully into your plan, that we not only know it, but that we become a part of your plan by grace. O God, let us experience the full restoration and the original blessings with spirit baptisms, with the equipping, with the power from on high, with the sealing of the Spirit, with the confirmation of the Word. Let everything what happened at the beginning happen also at the end. Give grace that we expect it, longingly expecting it, counting with it, that it comes forth now, that you come to a breakthrough with your people. Here we are, available for you. Do with us as you like. Make us willing, make us obedient, and keep us humble and in your grace. Once again, I thank you for all the souls which were saved, for all the people who came to the knowledge of the truth. And faithful God, by faith we receive it, that you, in the near future, that you will do far more as you did already during the past years. Faithful God, our hope, our confidence, our trust is toward you, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who calls those things which are not here yet as they would be here already. We believe you, we trust you. Lord, I feel your presence. You are here today. You blessed. You have given certainty, clarity you have given. You revealed yourself anew. Lord, we thank you with all our hearts for it. Also for that, that you open the doors unto the ends of the earth. Very open and with all our hearts, I pray for Mr. Gorbachev. Lord, bless him. Touch him. Oh, we would be so glad if you would save him. With you, all things are possible. You are the God of heaven and earth. You open doors and no one can shut. Lord, we praise you and worship you. Lord, let us experience that you are the Almighty One, the Risen One. We believe it. Now we want to see it and experience it. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to you. We have full confidence in you. I ask you once again, bless also those who don't mean well with us, also those who attack us and slander us. With all our hearts, we bless them. With all our hearts, we bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may all be blessed. Faithful God, let those who went astray return. People who don't know in and out, help them, O Lord. Be the light and comfort to them, strength and all what they need. I thank you for my brothers and sisters at this place, in this country, in Austria, here in the German-speaking countries in particular, through which this work is supported. Our brethren from the Elsass, bless them. Bless our brother and sister Kupfer in a special way. Faithful God, also them you called out as a piece of wood out of the fire. You found them where I could not find them, where I would never have come. There you came. Oh my God, and all brothers and sisters, you knew where we stay, who we are. Suddenly you were there. You called us. And here we are. Glory. Bless also Brother Barrier. Bless his family. Bless Brother Etienne Genton. Bless the workers. Bless all brothers. Bless all sisters who do the work, who support it, who pray for it, who have part in it. Lord, in particular we thank you for the open doors to Russia, to Eastern Europe in general, to China, everywhere. May in all things your will be done quickly. Lead us so that we would soon supplicate, driven by the Spirit, come soon, Lord Jesus. Worship and glory be unto you. Also for the Lord's Supper, that we could have together with you and with one another. To you, the Almighty God, who already came to Abraham with bread and wine, as Melchizedek, to you be the thanks and glory.